I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers 194, Finding Dory.
How many Pixar movies have we done?
All of them.
No,
we went back in time to 1995.
What was the first one we did?
I feel like Good Dinosaur was the first one we did.
No.
No,
because we did Inside Out.
Yeah, we
that
did
That was
Inside
a Pixar
Out.
Movie?
Yeah.
I thought that was a Disney animation.
No, that's Pixar. No, that's Pixar.
Are you sure?
Yes.
The guy I'm, yeah.
We didn't do Wall-E. We didn't do Up. We didn't do Toy Story 3.
Nope.
We didn't do Brave.
I guess it is Inside Out.
Yeah.
I don't even think we did The Good Dinosaur.
No, we did.
Did we?
Well, I don't think we did. But you talked about it.
Yeah, you talked about it.
There is nothing good about that.
No, you talked about it.
Tell you that
so
much.
I guess Inside Out, oh, it's interesting. Okay, I was just trying to look at the Inside Out was our first one. Okay.
So before we dig in, let's go around the table. Everybody can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Please go there, rate, review, subscribe. It costs you nothing. It gains us nothing except pride.
It looks good on iTunes.
Yeah. So we're at 100 now. That's nice. You know, it'll be nicer. 101.
That's right.
So. Do you think they just lock it down? You think maybe iTunes just put a stop to
they
all
were
that
like,
business?
That's enough.
You guys are growing way too fast.
Yeah. You guys need to just slow your roll.
Easy, big fella.
So, but anyway, that does help us a lot when you do that. So that's why we ask for it every week. So you can also subscribe to the show. That way you'll never miss one. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Who wouldn't want to?
Yeah. So
they just show up in your magic music rectangle
your box, right? Magic box. Yeah.
So did we have somebody send us a picture of like their music, their magic music rectangle box?
Timmy Two Zunes has two Zunes. That's the name.
That's right.
Timmy. You know, honestly, this is a little piece of Real Spoilers trivia. It was 3 years ago today that we released our first episode.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody shared it with me on Time Hop.
Oh, wow. Huh,
really?
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was in May. Was it in June?
No, Man of Steel was in June. Like June, the first week of June, I think.
Okay, hey. Yeah. I'm not the guy with the memory to ask. I just thought it was in May.
Three years.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
3 years.
Happy birthday, guys.
Yeah, how about to you too.
You look kind of sad about that.
We've been from one dark locale to another.
We were young.
Someday,
we've moved once a year.
Someday, we'll actually have a window.
Well, maybe. Don't hold your breath.
Maybe.
We were young men when we started this.
Yeah. And let's just listen to our voices.
Dan and I weren't.
No.
So anyway, Finding Dory.
Yeah.
Joe?
How about we start with the short?
I don't know how we can.
The most gorgeous so CG.
You know, this has become their Marvel thing. Like Disney has always put
since Toy Story.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like they've been putting.
Oh, I mean, Marvel. I mean, they were before, but
wow,
they haven't become their Marvel thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're
a short
they're beginning. Yeah. Yeah, they're shorts in the beginning. Yeah.
Those are actually they serve a purpose.
How do you mean?
They are technical tests.
Well, this one passed.
Every one of those is going to look just a little bit better than the movie you're seeing.
They're working on the next.
Because they are
they're trying to solve a problem that they need to conquer in the next film.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So then what did Paper Man solve?
That was Disney, first of all. That wasn't Pixar.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But they're like lava and
that solved the problem of them needing an Oscar for best animated short. Yes. So
they said, well, you know, we don't have one of those.
We don't have one of those.
Boom.
Let's go ahead and take care of that.
No, I mean they're usually like technical demos. Like there was the one that like they had feathers. It was the birds.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like they had been working on trying to figure out like how to do birds feathers realistically. So
interesting.
It's always some sort of technical.
Wow.
Demo.
So this one totally makes sense then.
Yeah.
Oh no, because the next one's Disney animated feature. Mona is a Disney movie.
It would be for whatever their next one is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But anyway,
it was astounding.
It was breathtaking. Yeah.
But that's what Walt used to do a million years ago. All those shorts.
Oh, really?
Were almost always to test.
That's kind of brilliant.
New ways to do things, and that way, if you failed at it, you didn't do it on a
you're
90-minute
movie. Completely. You know,
you're not doing a feature length,
right?
You know,
right.
Hose that,
but
way.
Yeah, that's why people, because he didn't typically make a lot of money on the shorts, and people were like, "Why do you still do these?" He was like, "Well, that's how we test."
Yeah,
okay.
You know? So you write it off. It's actually a test. It's not like you're producing it to not make a bunch of money.
Sure,
you're actually producing it.
I've never seen. I was actually sitting there with my daughter. And as we're watching it, it was unbelievable.
It was photorealistic.
Like, the bubbles and everything coming off. So
you know what makes sense, though? The best part about The Good Dinosaur was how good those backgrounds looked.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the dinosaurs looked like crap, but those backgrounds were beautiful.
I don't think the dinosaurs looked like crap.
No,
it just looked like they were from a different movie.
No, that's what I mean.
Right,
like, I meant that they weren't on par with the photorealistic backgrounds.
Okay.
I didn't see
The Good Dinosaur.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
But the dinosaurs looked like almost just like too cartoony, and then the backgrounds were photorealistic forests and everything.
Yeah.
And so this one, though.
Picture Pete's dragon set against the backdrop of the Searchers.
Yeah. That's
pretty much
that is quite a disparaging couple of movies to put together. But like this one, it's just about a little bird, a baby bird,
a sandpiper.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's called Piper.
It's called,
right?
Piper. Yeah. I was like, the Pied Piper. We're gonna.
I was like, Pixar presents Orange is the New Black.
I was like, Rowdy Roddy.
Yeah, that's where you went. Me of all, like, if. Okay.
And my name is Joe.
Yeah.
He was just trying to head off. Head off the wrestling.
The part of Joe is played by Kevin.
I got the wrestling tucked on in the last episode.
He was trying to beat you to the pile driver.
Beat me to the power bomb. But yeah, it's a really simple, like, a baby sandpiper gets hit by a wave. He freaks out. You know, he meets up with a tiny sand crab. And then
it's adorable.
Oh, when, then he has to get some penicillin.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
But luckily,
it just gets taken care of, you know.
I loved it, though. It's adorable when the little bird, for the first time, is trying to get food, and he gets washed up by that wave, and it cuts to him all frazzled. It's such a fun little short, and then he meets the little crab. And
figures out how to deal with it.
And then,
like,
he becomes like a hero.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like the story itself is just a cute little story, but... The birds
the
and
water,
the crabs, the water,
the
like
individual
foam on, like, coming off the ocean was just it was breathtaking.
And reading about it, that little bird had something like 300,000 feathers that the computers
individual
were processing. 300,000,
I believe that was the number.
And so they didn't have technology before that because they made the animation first with what they had. And you didn't get realistic looking feathers. So they invented this technology with this. And now I guess we'll see that in the future when they have a bird or
so
whatever.
So when these companies like Pixar start to develop their animation style, how does that... So I guess do they copyright whatever it is? Because
it's their own
like,
software.
Like, I would say like Pixar
has
looks
proprietary
a certain way. DreamWorks
software,
looks
yeah.
a certain way. And then we saw like the trailer for Ice Age, the ninth one of those.
They all look the same.
But it's just like that. When you compare what I just saw in a 3-minute short compared to Ice Age, which is an hour and a half movie, like it's night and day.
Right.
Like, I don't know how anybody could put that Ice Age movie out and be like, yeah, it looks good.
But you
we'll
know
stick
what?
With it. Or those Madagascar movies look awful.
But they, you know, but still, I think for their audience, I mean, they all make $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, it's the
Do those Ice Age movies still make money?
And that's another example of a franchise that does really good overseas.
It does.
Ah.
Yeah. So you don't need to, but Pixar is revolutionary. I mean, they used to, was Pixar owned by Lucasfilm?
Yes.
Okay, so Pixar was a division in like 1985.
Okay.
So Pixar is an old company. You're thinking, oh, Toy Story, 95. No, they're like 30-something years old. And it's because they were a part of Lucas's computer animation.
I gotcha.
And then they spun off into their own thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny how they came back into Disney, who owns Lucas. Yeah, like, right, it's just funny how it all comes full circle. But yeah, no, their software is breathtaking. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen CG done that, because the beach, the water, everything looked like the
individual
they filmed
sand,
it.
And, you know, grains of sand.
Everyone out loud, look at the grains of sand. Yeah. That's what they all said. I mean, it's cool. So
yeah, it was just a little 5-minute short. Yeah. Of course, they killed it again.
Yeah.
They killed the bird?
They did.
Yeah. What the hell kind of story is that?
Awful.
But it looked amazing. It looked just like a dead bird.
I thought that sacrifice ritual, the volcano, was a little bit.
A dead baby bird was fantastic.
Oh, see, they invented the technology for the volcano from that song one that was before the last movie.
Mm-hmm. So wait.
And then
it turned out it was all just an ad for chicken fingers being on sale at the
Let's all go to the lobby.
Was the volcano one with Inside Out?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay.
So, they were making that volcano for the sacrifice scene.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. For their animated remake of Joe versus the Volcano. Yeah.
Don't get me started. I love that movie.
Yeah. I do love that movie. Yeah.
So, someone online went on a rant the other day about how much they love that movie.
That's a great movie. Yeah. It was Tom.
It was Brian Benn.
Yeah, it was yeah.
I saw the movie like 4 times in the theater.
That movie doesn't get the love that it deserves.
Yeah.
That's a good flick. So we open up with baby Dory and her mom. And is that right? No, I'm sorry. It's adult Dory, and they're sending the kids back off to school in this one.
No, it opens with baby Dory.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and has there ever been a more adorable animated fish in the history?
Adorable.
Oh, you've been waiting all day.
I have.
But seriously, though, I'm like, okay.
The voice.
I enjoyed Nemo, and you know, it was obviously a really good movie and everything, but I don't have the love that I do for Toy Story or The Incredibles. You know, it was good, but so I went into this with just, you know, medium expectations, nothing special. But from the opening scene and how cute they voiced it with like a little girl when Dory was tiny.
It was perfect.
Big eyes, the big Precious Moments eyes.
Right.
And her talking, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, you win.
I mean, from the moment.
You had me in the first minute.
They
and
really
the baby
did.
Talk.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So cute, so adorable. And I mean, they nailed it.
Yeah, she's talking to her parents, and her parents are
Diane Keaton.
I knew the mom
Levy.
Was, and yeah. I knew Eugene Levy, but that it was Diane Keaton was the mom.
It was Diane Keaton.
Okay, Eugene Levy.
You could tell because the fish was wearing a pantsuit,
right?
And the dad
and the eyebrows.
Yeah. I could tell it was Scorsese or
you know,
and then she's just, you know, she's trying to teach Dory to deal with.
We learn her affliction is short-term memory loss.
Yeah. Didn't we know that?
That was
no,
pretty bad.
We learned that,
but
it didn't come from an accident or something. As a baby that she's suffered her whole life. So we learn more about that, and her parents are teaching her how to deal with it.
Right. Yeah, doing like the shell thing.
This is one of those layered movies where you could read into it and think, this is kind of about parents with children who have special needs.
I think that's exactly what
they
it was
did.
About.
Another,
like,
it's not as eat your vegetables as Inside Out, like trying to educate you, but they really did make a statement here.
Well, and I don't think it hit me until there's a scene where there's a flashback where Dory is remembering her mom and dad having a conversation, and her mom is crying. She's like, what is she going to do? She goes out into the real world.
Oh.
And then I was like,
heart-wrenching too.
That's what we're talking about. That's exactly what that was.
I know we're skipping forward, but just like, you know, mommy likes the purple shell. Oh, God. Yeah. Pixar really knows how to do it.
They get it, you know, and they're not hitting you over the head with it either.
But the parents,
like, where do they think bait comes from?
Shark bait.
But the parents are so sweet to her. You know, they never get like frustrated with her you know, I mean, they're just like parents in the real world are with kids.
Well, I don't know. I think parents in the real world get frustrated.
They could, but I mean, like, it's their child. They didn't go like, hey, Dory, we're gonna ship you off to Sardine Land. You know what I mean? Like, they're patient with her.
She's not a sardine. That doesn't make sense.
It was very sweet. You know, the relationship between the parents and Dory was really sweet from the beginning and throughout the whole thing in different stages.
And the other thing that I actually really dug is that they take Nemo and Marlin and they flip it. Where they make Dory the center, and they let Nemo and Marlin kind of be the Dory characters from the first.
It's almost like they're trying to find Dory instead of Nemo.
Isn't it weird? Yeah. Well, I just figured, you know, like 9 times out of 10, they put all 3 of them together.
Yeah.
And they make it. But this one, like, Dory's your main focus.
They fold this into, you know, exactly how Finding Nemo starts.
Yeah. Now, is it from a different angle?
Yeah.
Because I didn't think they recycled
footage.
From Dory's.
No.
So it's the same story.
But I mean, it's weird because there's this montage where you see her growing up over the years.
Yeah. So she gets lost. Yeah, she gets lost. Yeah.
And she's looking for her parents and she can't find them. She keeps saying, have you seen my parents?
I thought also Bill Hader and
McKinnon.
Yeah.
The gal from
Kate
McKinnon.
Oh, it's always Kate Sunny. McKinnon. Yeah. Oh, no, is that who it was? Kate McKinnon? Was the mom
always
the wife?
Sunny is the whale
the
is yeah. Destiny later.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Kate McKinnon was the
but yeah. Like I hear Bill Hader, yeah. And I was like, is that Alan Alda? No, Bill Hader. But yeah, like it was. Nice
I love
little,
that part too.
Yeah, but it was. Yeah. It, you see the her kind of grow up and look constantly looking for her parents, literally until the first second you see her in Nemo. And I just thought, what a Kafka-esque existential nightmare that this fish has been trapped in.
It was heartbreaking.
This is creepy.
And didn't know.
Yeah.
But we see in Finding Nemo, we saw that she has like flashes.
Right,
where she has the like sort of the her clarity.
Well, like it just keeps swimming.
Yeah,
like is a thing.
Oh, you get the origins
of
all these things.
You know. So yeah, we jump back into the beginning of, and we go, and then we flash forward.
Yeah.
1 year later.
You know, if you were going to talk about this movie being not that the whole thing is, but doing a prequel or doing an origin story, this movie handled it so well. The way they went back and tied it into the existing movie. You know, some movies go back and they do the retconning or whatever. Like this movie
didn't,
nailed it.
It felt organic.
It felt so.
It didn't feel retcon. I felt like somewhere in a file they had already written
let's be honest.
And they might have. It wouldn't surprise me, but it felt like they did.
Yeah, they're pretty, I think they workshop a lot of backstory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this definitely felt like, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, you know, she's got parents.
Yeah, right. It wasn't Deus Ex Machina like, oh, and guess what? We end up with Nemo. It was like, oh, my gosh, that's where the song that she sings. And she goes, I thought I invented that. Yeah. And you see her parents, again, sweetly teaching her.
Teaching her the song.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, so then we flash forward up to a year, and then we see the stingray, and he's doing the whole, you know, taking them to school. And then Marlin, again, voiced by Albert Brooks, is just kind of like, Mr. Stingray kind of wants you to stay here. You know, he doesn't want to, you know,
after Mr. Stingray doesn't have enough help is what he says.
And
so,
she was like,
oh,
you want me to be a teacher's assistant? Yeah. And he was just kind of like, yeah,
Mr. Stingray, you've got your help.
Right, sure. So they end up going
because all the fish are clearly used to they all
know Dory
are used to it they're used to her you know inability to you know process
I like
it.
That the kids
and they
never,
all kind of know it
and I like how they didn't get mean.
No, they're not mean.
They could have, you know, what they could have done is, you know how kids can be and, you know,
sure,
they're young and they could be young and immature and they could really take advantage of Dory's situation, and they're also nice and like trying to help her along. And of course Nemo isn't, like when she forgets things like oh, are you, you know, doing this again? And it was just nice the way that they treat her. I like that they didn't make you feel bad for Dory really in that regard.
And also I think that has a lot to do with the way that Ellen DeGeneres handles the character. She never, like, just in her inflection and her voice, she never lets on
that she's sad.
That she's sad or anything, right? And I think that, like, you see Ellen all the time on TV, and I think that has a lot to do with her real life character. Like, she never lets on that if she's having a crappy day, which, let's be honest, she runs a talk show. She has to have a crappy day in there somewhere, you know?
Yeah. Well, when you make Ellen money, maybe not, but.
I know. She has writers, though, you know? Like, I'm sure she's sitting in a writer's room, like, whatever.
But no, I like how Dory, the character of Dory, you know, despite her disabilities and troubles, she's always upbeat and always positive. Yeah. And she's, oh, did I forget again? I'm sorry. But like, she's still so positive and she's never like crying in a corner.
Well, and also the I'm sorry, like when you hear the I'm sorry from Dory, you're like, nah, don't worry about it. But when you hear the I'm sorry from baby Dory, gut punch.
That's what
like,
oh, man.
Like, even in my head, I was like, it's okay. You're good. Yeah. Like, we'll take care of it. It's fine. You know? So
it's adorable.
I'm trying to think. She ends up. Does she have a flash to her parents?
Yes.
And then
when the migration with
they take her in the undertow.
That's what it is. The undertow.
And she gets a flashback of her parents say, "Don't go in the undertow," because and she keeps flashing back to like grass that's moving, like seaweed or grass that's moving.
Right.
Fast,
that's right.
You know?
That's right.
And we eventually find out where that was.
So she decides that.
Although, if you've seen World According to Garp, it's hard to hear undertow and not.
Think undertowed.
Undertowed. Yeah.
That's a good movie. I like that movie too. So she decides to find her family. And this is, again, Albert Brooks doing the Albert Brooks thing where he was like, no. Like, we're not doing it. We're not going anywhere. We're just going to stay here where it's safe and we're going to be okay. And Dory kind of pleads to his heart and they decide to go. And this is where we get to see.
And I like that Marlin, the son, Nemo, is basically kind of constantly there. He's sort of like.
He's his little Jiminy Cricket.
He is.
Yeah.
And. every, because, you know, Marlon Albert Brooks is still, you know, he hasn't, like, it's not like he's like a changed man.
Right.
But the kid is sharp enough to know that, hey,
come on.
Yeah. It calls him out.
He does. He has his conscience, basically.
He is. Yeah. Well, also, like, I think of that, like, when I'm watching it, the more I thought about it, Nemo is now older,
mm-hmm.
and he's not putting up with his dad anymore. Not like that.
Right.
But, like, he's questioning his father.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something that every kid goes through. And I think that, like, the timeline is just really interesting that even as not a human child, but as a child itself, he's beginning to question his father. It was just a really interesting tone that I think was kind of missed. Now, not on purpose, but...
To be fair, they went through some... in that first movie,
that's
right?
True.
So, like,
that is true.
Howard Brooks went through some stuff, and he's trying to protect his child.
And he's like,
so,
like, you know what? We got lucky last time. We don't need to go through.
So I did not feel like, hey, this is douchebag Marlon.
I totally get
where he's coming from.
His point of view from a parent is like, I get it.
But he did, you know... He knew a guy.
Which was pretty awesome. Like, that, so, and I will say that my daughter has a medium-sized crush stuffed figure or stuffed doll.
She already has a crush? How old is she?
Yeah, it's very young. That's
tough.
Nip that in the bud, man.
And he's medium-sized. Is that like middle-aged?
Yeah. He's like 30. It's fine.
Not only the best for creepy stuff.
Yeah, that's right. No.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I suppose.
It's better than Roman Polanski, I guess.
Yes. So as soon as Crush came on screen, she was like, loved it. And of course, the little
Squirt
was great. Yeah.
I was wondering if Squirt would have grown up. Like when I was looking at all the turtles,
Nemo hasn't.
Well,
those things are also hundreds of years old.
And so it makes more sense for Squirt to have not grown up than it does for Nemo to have not grown up.
Bart Simpson's been in like third grade for.
No, I understand, but honestly, in a year, a turtle would get quite a bit bigger. I mean, when they're hatched from their eggs, they're this big.
Yeah, but
and then in a year, Squirt would not be Squirt, so I think that was a little unrealistic from the animal.
That's what you're worried about is the real.
I was just wondering if he'd
you stand up. I'm leaving
because I saw the
good
little,
day. This sir is an outrage.
I say good day.
I saw the little turtles, and I was just wondering if Squirt would be bigger and he'd have new little brothers or whatever. Yeah. You know, but anyway, so it's Squirt's there. Nemo looks the same. It's the characters you.
I
love.
I was just glad that turtle didn't want to eat pizza.
That's all I care about.
You know,
that is a win.
Didn't make a joke about getting a boner in a shell.
You know, it's smart though. I mean, honestly, from a marketing standpoint, like they put a year between it, so just enough time has passed to establish, you know, Dory's a part of the community. Mm-hmm. They all know her, but you're keeping the characters. People love Squirt. He's cute. He's little. They love Nemo not being an adult like Marlin. You got the little one.
And if you don't believe us that people love Squirt, just Google.
Google
love Squirt.
Love Squirt.
And
would
I think you'll see how much people
would
love Squirt.
Would you Google
Squirt.
It or would you just Pornhub it? Just since it's already in your history.
Don't do it, Dan.
Sorry. I thought we were talking about Quirst.
Oh, no. No, Quisp.
Quirst, the better soda than Squirt. I'm just going to say
Do you actually drink Quisp cereal with Quirst in it?
You can't do it. It's too much.
Would it just be too?
It's like a black hole.
Don't mess around with Quisp because it beat Quake.
Oh jeez,
what?
Quisp versus Quake.
What was Quake?
It was the Great Cereal War.
Is that where the video game came from?
Yeah,
was the battle of the cereals.
It was the Quisp and Quake, and I think they were pretty much the same. They're basically they taste like Captain Crunch without the crunch,
great.
Without the berries. You know, it's just the Captain Crunch with like no other thing.
Okay,
and not as painful.
Don't tell me they make that cereal.
You don't
Captain Crunch, no berries.
They absolutely make Captain Crunch without berries.
Oops, all berries is how it should
be. And they say, no berries.
So they just take the box of cereal and separate it. No, they just separate it out and they go, this person gets all berries.
It was just Captain Crunch.
Yeah, Captain Crunch is what I remember.
And then there was Crunch Berries.
Yeah.
And then there was Oops, all berries. And it was like, stop getting.
And why can't we get Oops All Marshmallows for Lucky Charms?
Yeah.
What do we got to do to make that happen?
Just one time.
Can you imagine a box of marshmallows?
But their marshmallows are different, man.
They're not
like regular marshmallows.
They're not. Yeah. They're crunchy.
They are.
Which shouldn't be a thing.
Which should make them no longer marshmallows.
You can buy
like a 5-pound bag of those on
like
Amazon.
Lucky Charms marshmallows?
Yeah.
Tom?
Did somebody go through
Have you not done that?
I didn't know this was a thing.
Oh, well, it's quite delicious.
Someone at the factory, like after hours, is like getting a bunch of...
I prefer not to share, but yes, I have done this, and it's quite good. Little snack, keep it in the desk. You're like, what?
No,
I'm eating my almonds.
Is that why you're running at like 4 a.m.?
I'll be right back.
I got to run this off.
And 2 p.m. and 6 p.m.
1-pound bag of
Medley Hills Farm Cereal Charms Marshmallows is $10.77.
Worth it. Buy it right now.
By the time you buy five boxes of regular cereal and get solid
Amazon Prime, it'll be here.
What's your time worth?
It'll be here by Tuesday.
Yeah. So good.
Do it.
Do it.
So, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Squirt, Quisp, Captain Crunch. Okay,
we
got
it. We are back.
Okay.
So they jump on the...
You know, you're talking about Quisp and Quake. And I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, but I had a speech impediment as a child. And I had, for real, I had to take classes in order to fix how I talked. And now I'm just wondering if I really like Quisp and Quake cereals.
Your parents were like, we got to get them off this crack.
I took all those classes for nothing. But yeah, I really did. I had a speech impediment that they had.
There he goes again. So these classes aren't doing anything.
What did it sound like? What was it?
I couldn't say my R's.
What did they sound like?
Oz.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a speech impediment?
Well, apparently.
I mean, I was 17. No, I was probably second grade.
You definitely didn't get the role of a pirate.
People always thought my parents were divorced and one of them lived in New York. They were like, you sound like you're from New York. And I remember, so I worked on the R's, and I worked on the R's for months, and my last session, they're like, okay, do the alphabet. I'm like, you know, A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, Q, R, F, T, U, V, and they're like, whoa,
did you say F?
Back up. Like, go to the start again from Q. I'm like, Q, R, F, T, U, V, and they're like, the R's were so bad, nobody had noticed that I couldn't say my S's either, so I had to start over with the S's.
That sucks.
I was like, you mother... You thunned the bitches.
So they definitely didn't start you off with the rain in Spain. Stays mainly on the plane.
They just got to the rain, and they were like,
Pygmalion.
Stop.
Yeah. But yeah, so...
All right.
Well, I blame Quake and Quisp.
Sorry.
Yeah. So blame it for my childhood obesity and juvenile diabetes. Okay.
All of the above.
Finding Dory.
Yeah, finding Dory. So they jump back into the jet stream. Was that what it's called?
So they find out that the...
What are they going through to get to the other side of the...
It's the... God dang it.
The jet stream, I think, is what it's called, right?
I feel like the jet stream would be in the air.
Yeah, the jet stream is in the air.
Okay, so whatever it is, they're in the turtle version of the thing that they surf on when they're like surfing, quote unquote.
Right, and so Dory realizes that
her flashback tells her where to go. What's it called? The heart of something?
The jewel of the ocean?
Or
the jewel of San Diego?
The jewel of Morro Bay.
There you go.
Which is in, of course, Marlon's like, that's on the other side.
Of the ocean.
They're like,
you
and?
Only do that once.
Yeah, they're like, and? It's like, okay, I guess
I know
going.
A guy. Yeah.
I know a guy, so that's where we see them.
That they take.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. Do they call it that?
Yeah, the East Australian Current.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Somehow they get separated, right? Like, because Dory has to go one way
they
and then
encounter, like, a squid or something.
At this point in the movie,
I'm starting to get worried because it's really just following Nemo beat for beat.
It is.
And so I'm starting to get a little worried about
especially
what
when
we're
they
doing
get to
here.
This scene. Yeah. Like, this scene
because
is the shark scene.
Instead of a shark, it's like a squid or something. Yeah. And
you're
I was
getting
just
a little
like,
Force Awakens flashback.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what are we doing?
What?
Yes. And then they. Because
Force Awakens is a New Hope.
It follows the beats of a New Hope.
Shut your dirty whore mouth.
But that's okay.
It's a great movie.
But Nemo didn't put out three prequels and needed to redeem itself.
Yeah.
That's different.
I agree. Like they had that scene, and I was like, this is a little familiar. It's just a bigger fish.
I was almost thinking, I was like, please don't tell me they run into a shark in this area. Because
then
my other fear was because we'd already seen the turtles. I thought, are we going to just keep encountering old characters,
like
a greatest hits.
I thought it's like I love Willem Dafoe and the
he was great
first movie, but I was like, I kind of don't want to see him again.
Right? Yeah. Well, we follow. I mean, it follows Finding Nemo almost to a T up until that she gets inside. Yeah.
It's then when we hear the sweet dulcet tones of Sigourney
Weaver. That was hilarious. I loved that.
That was good.
She's tremendous.
Well, it's because so she almost gets them killed, and so you know Marlin says, "Dory, just go wait over there." And
that's what you're good at.
Yeah, he will go away and forget.
Yeah, sit over there and forget.
And then Nemo's like, "Hey, you."
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
But so Dory swims off. She's like, okay. And she goes to, like, the seaweed, and then she looks up to the light.
He's
and,
like, if fishes had vaginas, I would call you a douche, but I don't have a word for that because I'm a fish.
Yeah, I'm a fish, and I don't know any better.
So she hears talking, and she goes up towards the light into the surface of the water, and there it is, Sigourney Weaver.
So this was my favorite part of the movie, is the two sea lions.
Oh, the third part was my favorite. Gerald.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Was
like,
absolutely.
And also, I was like, are they making fun of the retarded sea lion?
I don't think.
Was it retarded?
No, he just was goofy
looking.
Are
you kidding me?
No, he wasn't.
He was just a little backwards.
They were, yeah, he was just okay. goofy looking. But wait, as soon as Gerald, because they're focusing on these two sea lions, and he's off camera, and it, yeah. the camera just pans right over, and this huge eyebrows, like Groucho Marx eyebrows, and cross eyes. And,
yeah.
I laughed out loud.
Yep.
Off. But I'm even, like, Gerald
but
is my favorite.
Then, that's kind of a retread of the Seagulls. Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
so
it is.
I was just like,
but it was Idris
it
Elba.
It was hilarious.
So, yeah. you know, and yeah. it's yeah. like the thing that that people don't know about Idris Elba, unless you've watched The Office, is the dude is really funny as well. So, and he hasn't done comedy in years. He's always kind of done, like, you know, he was in the Jungle Book and Luther yeah. and Pacific Rim and yeah. now he's gonna be in the
James Bond. Oh no, wait,
not anymore.
Yeah,
I think if he hadn't gotten the Dark Tower, that may have been yeah. in the works. Yeah. But now he's in the Dark Tower. So when he gets to do comedy, he's really great. Oh, he was Zootopia. He was funny in Zootopia.
Yes, he was.
So yeah, it's him and I don't know who the other guy was. It was also like a pretty big British actor. Yeah,
they're awesome.
Yeah. yeah. So Gerald keeps trying to jump up on the rock.
Yeah.
And they're like, off. And he runs
away.
Well,
and also with, who is it? Becky is the bird,
Becky's
right?
Becky's the bird.
I mean, she's another one that's goofy looking. Whatever.
Right.
Hilarious. Gerald and Becky were two of my yeah. favorite characters from this movie.
They brought in, I mean, what was cool is that they pivoted into, like, they took it out of the ocean.
Right.
And yeah. they took it as much as, like, you know, like when they put Nemo into the fish tank.
Yeah.
And that became a world. And everything about that, you know, like everything was, you know, bigger than life. But it was cool because
yes.
it was like, it's a fish tank. This, you know, they go into a marina.
Right.
You know, or an aquarium. And it was everything about that world. And it stopped being like feeling like it was going to be a retread.
Yes, I agree.
It became
completely.
All new.
Absolutely. And aside from that, what I really love is that there was no villain per se.
Right.
Like,
no.
Like their environment and the people.
The people were the villains.
But they really weren't.
Because they
Dory gets separated because they scoop her out of the water.
Right.
Because they're trying to rehabilitate.
Right.
And
like
release.
Because where I thought this was going to go is I thought that this was going to be a riff on Blackfish. And I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like it, and I just thought, well, that's a pretty dicey move considering
yeah.
you own Animal Kingdom. And,
right,
and obviously
right.
you made this
no.
before the crocodile thing, but or alligator thing,
because
it was because it was a crocodile, he would have heard the clock ticking.
That's all
right. that's what they do at Disney. They just every crocodile, they like put a clock in it.
Yes, yeah. But
they are now going to have Captain Hook and Smee on every beach, yeah. every resort, running around to warn people.
But I, you know, I thought that you know that they were going to do a Blackfish thing, and that
yeah,
this
yeah.
was going to be like an evil.
Yeah.
No, and I, but, yeah, you know. I love the direction they took it. That all the people that were scooping Dory and quote unquote keeping her apart from Nemo and her family, you know, were not doing it intentionally.
They
out
were
of a
well
bad
intentioned.
Place. They
yeah.
were trying to rehabilitate fish, move them to another exhibit that would, you know, were to be with their family and have their own exhibit. And
right.
like,
sure.
so I love that there was no villain. They were just battling the yeah. elements and their environment and time. You know, there was no, haha, I'm the evil whatever trying to steal, yeah. like,
no,
like a Toy Story villain, Al or something. You know, there was no bad guy.
Well, Al wasn't even the bad guy. It was the prospector.
Well, that was three.
Yeah.
Al and two.
Al the prospector.
Al prospector was in two.
Oh. They were both bad.
But
guys.
Al was
yeah.
still like at the garage till he stole those.
Yeah,
tools.
That's a good point.
I mean, do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
there was none of that. And
yeah,
so
Al
I love,
gets his come up.
Yeah,
it's
right.
true.
It was Dominic West. Dominic West was the other
yeah,
sea
yeah.
lion, which
but,
is just like, oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but then, it pivots into a different.
It's cool. Yeah, I really
and
love
they,
that.
And they brought in just, I thought, like, the ace in the hole because, like, every time that character was on the screen, people just loved it was
Ed Asner.
Ed O'Neill.
Yeah, as
yeah.
Hank the Septipod.
Man. Yes.
that was great. He was like, no, I got my one arm cut off
yeah.
by whatever.
And, I mean, it's like, it's again, like, Pixar, like it's one of those classic Pixar characters where they're like, they just kind of had this guy do his voice.
Right. Well, that's
sure.
he's also got such a great
He's got a great voice.
He's got a great voice, but he's also like that voice. I think anybody, you know what? Even in, because I mean, what's the gap between all of us? But like we all know that voice.
Oh yeah,
you know, like that his voice is pretty iconic, along with every character he's ever
played.
Whether
it's Married with Children or
Modern Family.
Right.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah,
he's great on both of those shows.
Yeah.
Adventures
of Ford Fairlane.
Exactly.
I
totally. Little Giants.
We're on board.
Yeah.
Yeah, the asshole brother coach in Little Giants. I totally forgot he was in
whatever the one where he was the hockey player, whatever that one was.
Meeting Britney Spears in an airport.
Is that what?
It was circulating in one of those viral photos that he met Britney Spears, and you know, there's a bit of an age gap. No,
she didn't know who he was?
No, she's like, oh, I love you, whatever, and he thought she was just a fan. And so his agent calls him up and goes, why is there a picture all over the internet with you and Britney Spears? And he's like, who? What? And he goes and looks at it. He's like, that was Britney Spears. So But she said like, oh, he was so sweet and everything, but he was just treating her like a fan.
Whatever,
so,
man.
That's awesome.
So
the character he plays on Modern Family is not too far from
reality. I don't think that's too far from the truth. That's what I said. He's just he's what's his name?
He
got divorced from Peggy and he married up again.
Yeah, he's just you know.
Yeah.
He just wants to get out.
Right. So Dory has this tag on her, and Hank does not want to go back to, he just wants to go to Cleveland, which is where all of the, and I was like, where all the fish go to die?
Well,
a big aquarium.
That's what it is.
He wants to go to the big, it's almost like a retirement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If I can interject here, this is another thing that I love. Did anyone else think that he was trying to pull a fast one over and he wanted to get released and he was going to send her to Cleveland? At first, you don't know his intentions. And so I'm like, oh, he's trying to screw over Dory, who has this issue. You know, like, because he goes, oh, well, I want to go to Cleveland, so give me your tag, and then you can go back in the ocean here. And I thought it was going to be the old switcheroo.
Yeah.
But no, his intentions were
really
the
entire
time. He wanted to help her and trade her for the tag, so that was cool.
Well, he didn't want to help her. He just wanted the tag because
he wanted to go to Cleveland.
But he wasn't trying to harm her.
He was not trying to harm her.
He helped her because he wanted the tag, and it wasn't screwing her over.
No.
So I did like that they went that route because, you know.
Yeah. This is where you get
drink the coffee.
That was great.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. All those
He just reaches up and grabs. He's like,
some coffee.
I don't tell you. You're in quite a pickle, and just puts the coffee back.
And it's cool. The fun thing about that character, too, is that obviously in real life, even if an octopus or septopus like that can blend in with things, like, it's not to the they probably change colors.
There's some
blend
great, I mean,
in.
Watch some YouTube videos. Yeah. What they can,
okay.
they do change their shape.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah,
but I don't know about the whole chameleon.
It's very comedic the way they do it, but it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
I mean, it's not the Predator,
right?
You know,
but we'll get that next year
when he walks over posters. His body literally has the print from the posters.
Sure,
it's fun though. I mean, the way they put his character in different objects and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so they now it's Hank and Dory are trying to get, like, she's getting flashes of memory and they're kind of leading her to different parts of the park.
Just wants to, like, do this one thing and be done, and she keeps getting more and more memories.
He's like,
this is not a part of the deal. And he needs to get that tag, so he's just following her everywhere.
There's a pretty good scene. You know, at the same time, we've got Nemo and Marlin who are trying to get into the enclosure.
Yes.
And they're being carried by Becky.
Becky.
Oh, this bird with these huge red eyes.
Yeah, right.
And she has to imprint on him?
Yeah, he's got to make sure look her in the eye.
Which one? Just pick one.
And make this weird noise, so they have to imprint.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
The two stories going back and forth, and again, this being a Dory movie and not a Nemo and Friends movie, I do love how they did that. But every time they went back to them and their adventures with Becky, you know, but also the growth that Marlin goes through, because now Nemo's kind of acting like the adult. I mean, again, I get where Marlin's coming from, but you do get more character growth from Marlin and about friendship and family,
doing things for
your family. And so I really enjoyed every time they went back, and those Becky interactions and the noises
the great scene where the bucket they're being carried in a bucket and it gets stuck on a tree branch and they have to like shimmy the bucket down, and then
I really liked how the different ways they would devise to transport the fish,
because that was the biggest question. I'm like, how are they going to get from the water? Because when they're with the sea lions, is that what they were?
Yeah.
When Nemo and Marlin are with the sea lions and they're like, oh, the sea lion said, yeah, the center is that over there. And it's a big building like on land in the middle of it.
Right.
I'm like, okay, how? And it was so creative the way they did it.
Yeah,
buckets.
Like, when they had them in a bucket, they were in like a water park where they were getting shot with water and
like a water feature that comes out of the ground. Like they have amusement parks.
It was pretty smart. It was fun
the way that the fish traveled out of water.
Right. But I did like that they, like, so they get this bucket like halfway in it. I'm trying to think. Either the bucket
falls.
They're
weighing the branch down.
Yeah, and it whips up. But like, Becky at this point is gone, and they're stuck in this,
because Becky had to take a little popcorn.
She had to get some popcorn.
And Nemo said, wait for her, she'll come back for us. And Marlin's like, no,
we gotta go. And they do it, and then of course they fall, and they somehow they look up and they see that Becky's flown to the top
where they needed to go,
top of quarantine.
And so it's like Marlin keeps getting disproven with this. Marlin is very, and again, we understand it, but he's very like adamant about this is the right thing to do and we need to do this and be safe, whereas like he's disproven time and time again. If he would just kind of trust the system Nemo has his view of the world, because he's younger, is different. He's naive,
but he's also navigated an adventure like this before in a way that Marlin hasn't. Even though Marlin went on a similar adventure, he was always pulling back and getting pushed by Dory to go forward. And he pushed himself forward because he loves Marlin more than he loves Dory. Yeah. And he should.
Sure.
And Nemo's pretty much trying to tell him, you know, put your blast shield down on your helmet. Just trust him. Just close your eyes and just do it.
You're good to go.
Because every time it would have all worked out.
Right.
So
they end up, so Dory this entire time is trying to get to the open ocean exhibit. And they've got Hank in the bottom of this baby carriage, and she's trying to tell him which way to go.
Before the
kid meets up with Destiny, the whale shark.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Destiny and Ty Burrell.
Bailey.
My daughter loved Bailey. Like anytime he would use the echolocation,
Did
she like Mr. Peabody? Did she watch that one?
I don't know if she liked it, but she liked it enough.
Okay. I didn't know if she recognizes voices.
No,
Mr.
She's
Peabody.
She's five.
Yeah. Oh, I
she's
know.
Not on
but,
that level yet.
But,
She did. She recognized Jennifer Goodwin.
Yeah.
But these were her pipe buddies.
Her pipe buddies.
Pipe pals. When she was lost and calling out for help, they
hear her. That was a nice, awesome callback where she's like, I told you I knew how to speak whale.
Exactly.
But she's been talking to them the entire time. And of course, so the shark whale or whatever it is nearsighted and can't see anything.
No.
But Dory talks to her, and immediately she was just like, Dory?
Yeah.
And she was like, uh-huh. And she's like, Dory?
She's like, we were friends.
Yeah.
And at first, and again, like me thinking they're retroactively like going to have this convoluted way, because I'm like, okay, how did they know each other? And then when they did the pipe pal thing, I'm like, man, this just is so
really
clever.
Smart.
It's, it works so well.
Right. So they end up figuring out that if they go through the pipes, like that's also been a gag, is like if you go, it's two lefts and a right and you're there. Right. And she's like, I can't do that. Yeah. Like, I can't. I'm not going to remember that.
And she goes, there's a way, because Ty Burrell's character, he's basically like, no, there's no other way to do it. And Dory, again, is always optimistic, always upbeat. And she's been getting these flashes of her family, meanwhile, which she has not remembered these since she was little. She forgot what her parents looked like. She forgot the shells. She forgot the open ocean exhibit.
There's all kinds of stuff
And so we've gotten flashbacks of how she used to find her way home. Yeah. Her parents would put shells down on the ground.
Right.
And then I don't know if at this point or if it's a little later that we see how she actually gets lost in the first place.
This is her. It's all in the same little beat in this little moment where she gets lost. She loses her way.
Well,
and then
first it is the baby carriage, though, that you're talking about.
Is that what it is?
After the whale shark and Bailey, Hank jumps into the tank with him and is like, look.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right, we got a deal. That's not the deal. So we got to go.
Yeah.
And so they decide to take a...
Do this hilarious...
Baby carriage.
A very funny... Very funny.
It was, yeah.
And then they get lost.
I think this is where, like... I mean, the kids were really laughing at this part. Yeah. Because this is when it gets, like, its wackiest.
Yes.
Because there's a couple parts between this and at the end. It gets... I mean, it's out of control.
Yeah.
But
in a way, it gets
very slapsticky, whereas, like, Nemo wasn't.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree
But
with
I
that.
Think it's okay.
I
it
do, too.
That.
I think it got so fun during this part. They're bumping into people in the baby carrot and then the stroller, and then at the end of the movie was just amazing. That whole thing.
Oh, that whole
like,
thing where he's driving the truck.
We'll get into
like,
that. But
great.
Yeah, I loved it when it got like that. It's
what made it not a retread.
Yes. It was fun and original.
That's what it becomes.
I think you got 45 minutes of beat for beat, and then
I'd say not quite that much.
Well,
I'd say 20.
You think so?
Yeah,
just
pretty early in.
It's really once they bring in Hank that they're able to do things that they couldn't do, because like Hank can go out on land.
Right. Yeah. That's true. So, they were always stuck.
And
in the
he's
tank.
Always all he needs is like either a sippy cup. Or coffee pot.
I love
coffee
what they pot. Would always put Dory into transporter. Yeah, she would always find something. Yeah. And then, so is it the stroller, and then they end up in the touch exhibit?
Well, they do the stroller, and then Dory sees like the greatest eyeglasses.
She remembers
that pair of eyeglasses in the world.
She goes the wrong way,
so we see that the ocean exhibit is to the right, and they go left, and they end up in the
touching pool.
They have this the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago has you can walk through and touch the starfish and everything, and so it's kids just poking and prodding, which is a hilarious. You see it; it's almost like the D-Day scene in Saving Private Ryan, to an extent. You know, where the fingers are coming in like through the water and
they're grabbing they're squeezing.
Yeah, and as they're getting into like the worst area, all the little
turn back, or they're saying,
you're going the wrong way,
and then they're going into the poke and prod section or whatever.
This is another nice where one of the kids touches Hank and he inks everywhere, and I was like, that's, you made me ink.
I love it.
I thought of the throwback to the first one. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But then I think like Dory's like, it's okay. It happens to everybody. Like she's really sweet about it.
It's great. Yeah. So this is where they kind of climb out and they look up and they're right there. They're at the open ocean exhibit and they end up, shimmying their way up and they get down and they drop in. And this is where we see more flashbacks for Dory. Like flashbacks that we've seen already. Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is when she gets lost and she sees the parents talking in their house.
Yeah. Yeah. But we also see earlier in the movie, we saw a big fish go past her and said, be careful or watch where you're going. And we see the exact same fish in this moment.
So we know it's the area.
Right. So she kind of floats down and
you see the shells are still, they're covered by sand, but they're still there.
As she's wiping them off, memory upon memory is coming back,
and that purple shell, the parents are talking and the mom is having, because obviously having a child with issues like this, and this is where it really, I'm sure, can hit
to me
home.
This is where I was like, oh
yeah,
that's what we're talking
and
about.
And the mom's kind of breaking down with the dad, and then Dory sees it from a distance, overhears it, and she goes to get mommy's favorite color shell, the purple shell, and the little baby voice, mommy loves the purple shell, and it's just like heartbreaking, and then she goes in the undertow and
gets sucked away,
swept away,
and then that's where they kick off. But in this one, she kind of goes back to the house and there's nobody there.
It's just empty and the shells are covered up, so you can tell no one's been there for a while.
Right. And I think she realizes, is this where she realizes that she needs to, is she talking to
the little grass cutting?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which
that's
was so
right.
cool. Like I love how the guy was like the neighbor husband mowing the lawn. The wife is like, oh honey, where are you? And the husband's just like, yep, you can go over there. Just keep
all
mowing the lawn.
This is where it's like two lefts and a right, and right back where you need to be.
And it's the second time we've heard that. She's like, oh, and they're like, that's the only way to get there. So she kind of trusts in it, and
she gets, this is where she gets lost.
Yeah. Oh, and that's a hard scene too, because
I was like,
I know
you're okay. Because that's the way that Ellen DeGeneres does the voice in this one. Like she raises her panic level.
Yeah.
And she was, like I said before,
but you feel for this character.
Yeah.
Especially knowing the trials and tribulations she's come up with, from being a little fish. I think they really get you to care about Dory, where I know Dory was a favorite because she was funny in Nemo, but man, you care about Dory in this movie.
They elevate her character. To Nemo, Marlin level.
Oh, more. I think you care about Dory because of her backstory more than you care about Nemo and Marlin.
I could, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, I
thought that they were on the same level after
this. At least. And I'm not saying they're bad, but you know what I mean? Like, I connected with the Dory character. Like, I felt for that character because I've seen her grow up from not just this little adventure, but like, oh man, this little kid has grown up in years and talking to all the fish. And so, when she's like, oh, was it a left or did I already take that? And you're just man.
And then she's just going. Like, she's just going.
And I think does she see a vent or whatever?
She stops and she's like,
what
would Dory do?
Yeah.
And she calls out, and this is where the whale, the pipe pals kind of answer her back.
Yeah.
And Ty Burrell has to finally gets to use the echolocation.
And his deal is like, since this is a big aquatic like rehabilitation center, that he supposedly is not well and cannot do these things. And that's when the whale shark is like, no, you need to do this. It's time. You're fine. And so he uses his echolocation, and it is again one of the,
he just like puts his little fins
one of the great
goes,
parts of the movie where he's like seeing. It's like he's
he's like Daredevil.
It's like Daredevil,
right? It's like that Sonic looking. Exactly he's seeing a picture from like, you know, way far away. It's hilarious the way
he
gets her.
The best part is when he's like, zoom in.
It was like enhance. You know, it was that kind of a thing.
It was great. Like, and it's another thing is like Ty Burrell is one of those guys who not only is a great, like when you see him in person on screen, like he's got a great presence, a comedic presence, but also he can deliver a voice act that's fantastic.
And he is so fun. I mean, even like Muppets, he was in Muppets. He was
great
in
the Muppets.
But Modern Family stuff. I mean, I
think he's, has he won an Emmy?
Show has won Emmy.
I know
the
show has, but has he? I know he Julie Bowen did.
I think so.
I think he has.
I'm sure he has. But it's still hard for me to believe that in that Zack Snyder, Dawn of the Dead, he was the biggest
asshole.
Because he's been such a friendly, funny guy.
You know,
now
that's why Zack Snyder wanted to call it Dawn of Justice, so we had two movies with the word Dawn in the title.
Is that right?
No.
So you could just on your Blu-ray shelf just next to each other.
Well, that doesn't make it Batman. It doesn't make any sense. Why would it be right next to each other, Kevin?
I don't know. I was following your train of thought. I have no idea.
So I'm trying to, where are they trying to get her?
So he sees, he's trying to guide her, but then he sees that there's a giant, a large fish coming.
He's like, no,
and I'm like,
no, turn back.
Trying to steer
Who
her
is
away.
This fish in the pipes with her? It looked huge. And
that was something out of Alien.
Yeah.
Like that was it Alien or Aliens?
Aliens.
Yeah. Where they're like, turn
That's
back.
Great.
They're all over you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn around, and then she turns around back into it.
Right. He's like, no. Okay. And then, of course, they're all, you know, it turned out to be Marlon and Nemo.
Like, close together.
And they're
like
hugging, and like, Tyro's like, oh, my God, they're eating her.
Yeah, I don't know. And they're all, like, grieving for Dory. And then all of a sudden, she comes back over the pipes. And,
right.
And
are they trying to get him out? Is that what they were doing?
They're trying to lead him back to the rehab place, the quarantine or whatever.
Because they
was.
Said that, oh, that's right. So they get back to quarantine, and they find a case full of Dory. What are they called?
Blue Tangs.
Blue Tang. Hey now.
That's
I believe
tang.
It. So they
I think you can interchangeably search for blue waffle on the internet.
Don't
pictures.
Do that.
Is that the same?
Don't do that.
Blue Tang.
Don't
blue
do it. Whatever you do.
What about blue waffle squirt?
Don't. Oh, man. We're going to get some emails, brother. No. they drop into the tank.
And this is another part about how are they going to get from tank to tank? They're fish, right? Like,
aren't they,
I love the
bouncing
transportation.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, just the way they do it from one to the next. And,
right.
You know, and then
right.
Hank shows back up to save the day here, which is cool. Because you think he's...
They find out that the parents left and you're like...
Well, I was like, they're dead.
Well, that's what, everyone
they
thinks.
That's where
I was
but
going.
It was like,
oh,
they
loved you very much, Dory. They tried to find
but
you.
They and they couldn't. They're gone.
Oh, man.
And of course, Dory takes it on her shoulders where she's like, it's my fault. Like, everything is, this is all my fault. And then how does she get?
And meanwhile, Hank's like, we got to go because they're loading up tank by tank into the truck to go to Cleveland.
To go to Cleveland.
And they're getting to that Blue Tang exhibit, you know, or to that tank. And so he's got like a measuring cup or
whatever
in the water waiting to pull it up. And so he goes, gotta go. And he pulls it up and then it's just Dory.
Yeah.
And he's like, where is everybody else? And there's no time though. And then they say the octopus is loose and they have to run away. They capture him. But then he drops the cup, it breaks and she kind of like floats out the drain.
Is that what it was?
Back to the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Nemo and Marlon are on their way to Cleveland.
She's outside the ocean, on the outside again. And she has to coax the beluga and the whale shark.
Oh, that's right. That's
out
right.
of there.
Yeah.
She needs her help.
But she's also like...
But first, I think first, though,
first
it's when she's...
What would Dory do? Where she kind of dives down and she's in the...
Oh, she's like, seaweed. Seaweed's better than water.
It's a flashback to the opening scene where she gets swept away and she's just going through each individual thing and then she sees the shells.
And
as soon as
find,
she sees the shells,
man.
And I was like, oh, man.
This is another feel-good moment when you see shells leading to something.
Right.
And then you see like 20 tracks of shells.
Different tracks of shells.
You're like, oh, my God, they've been doing this every day since she's been gone.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, coming out of the distance, there's two blurry fish that you can't quite see. And they come and clear, and there they are.
And we meet their parents. And I asked my daughter, I was like, what was your favorite part? And she's like, when she finds her parents.
Aww.
And I was like, yeah, all right. That was a pretty good part. but yeah, then she talks the beluga and the other whale into like coming
jumping out,
out
of jumping their out. Exhibit.
But they've also like the entire time Ty Burrell has been trying to coach Destiny like wall. And then she runs into a wall. Yeah. And you know, so the whole time she's like, you got to tell me before. And I guess like he was like, because he would, the count would always be weird where he's like one, two, and then he would mess it up and she'd hit the wall.
Yeah.
To where finally they both get out and they take off and they're going after the truck. And then the two sea lions are like, man, I got to tell you, this is going to be good. We got to check this out. So they go. And then as soon as they get off the rock, they turn around and they're like, Gerald.
And Gerald is taking over the rock. And they're like,
don't get too comfortable.
Oh, my gosh. So funny.
He's standing on top of the rock, super proud.
Yeah.
You know, and just sits down.
I love how I felt so bad for him, too, because in the beginning when he gives the bucket to Becky,
he was like, Gerald.
They're like, Gerald, you can come on the rock. And they grab the bucket. We need your bucket. And then they push, they like, yell at him and he gets off.
He's like, off.
He got like 3 seconds of rock time. So that's why this really pays off when he gets on the rock.
Pretty good. So now the race is on. They're after the truck. And then, let's see, they get to like a, somehow well, Hank
they
gets,
they call the otters, the little sea otters.
Yeah. Holy.
So Dory's like, how are we going to save this truck? They're out of water.
We got to find something that's cute.
Yeah, and the family runs. They're like, we got to stop the truck. What stops traffic? They're like, cute things stop traffic. So they get this whole 20, 30 sea otters, whatever,
right,
to go and like kind of build a bridge and climb up the bridge of the
and
highway.
Like, 3, 2, 1, snuggle.
Yeah.
Cuddle party.
Cuddle party, yeah.
And the truck then like fishtails and goes sideways and all the cars stop. Luckily,
that's the one guy in the car goes, that's so cute.
Yeah. And luckily no one gets hit or ran over
here. Yeah, because that's a thing.
But that shakes all the tanks in the truck. And I like how all the fish, when it hit one bump, they all went into each other's tanks. Yeah, like, they all moved one to the right,
and
then they moved back in their tanks, which was just a funny.
So
little.
Now that Hank has commandeered the truck.
Yeah, they kicked Hank.
They kicked the two drivers out.
Yeah, Hank got flipped by the whale shark onto the
onto the windshield.
It was great.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. And they're like, what? And then so the drivers get out of the truck to go get him, and he disappears. And then all of a sudden he's inside the truck and they lock the
doors. And he's and so Dory's in the front
and like a coffee cup or something that's clear,
like a mug.
Yeah.
And Hank is driving and he's
on the pedal.
Right.
She's giving directions. Go faster. And it must be this one. And then it just like puts the brakes right. on.
And this is where they all jump back into the same tanks.
And then he finally floors it, but Dory has to be the eyes of the operation.
Right.
So another just comedic.
Just a big thing. It's just a big truck running down the highway.
And they go into like a roundabout.
He's like, go left.
Holding left. He goes, how long are we going to be holding left? And then they see something that it's the aquarium or whatever. Yeah. And it's to the right. So she pulls the right turn.
Big Ben in Parliament.
Yeah.
Big Ben.
So then she goes the wrong way down to where the truck came, and the like aquarium guys are chasing the truck. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh crap, they're running the other way.
And then they drive the truck off.
And this is the part where it's just bananas.
Yeah,
but
like
amazing.
So all of the fish are everywhere, and then you know Hank
they ramp off of like an overpass into the ocean.
Yeah, and everybody gets out. And everybody is safe, and then Hank kind of grabs Dory and kind of like nuzzles her.
We didn't even talk about Becky. The way that Marlin and Nemo try to get saved is Marlin does the noise to call Becky like he did unsuccessfully before, and Becky actually comes and shows up. So good,
Becky. And we should say that Becky looks haggard.
Yeah,
like, Becky looks nuts.
She's an interesting.
She's
looking.
A loon. Yeah, she's a loon.
That's what they do.
But it's so great.
And then everybody's back in the ocean, and everybody is. You know, that's kind of where our story wraps up. I think you get a nice little ending where Mr. the Stingray kind of goes on vacation. So Hank takes over as the substitute teacher.
Oh, yeah, cranky teacher.
Yeah, which was great.
And then Dory is
and
like,
Dory
I'm going to go out of my
way.
I'm going to go look, you know, to the cliff or whatever. Yeah, and Marlon's like, no. And she's like, I'll be good. And then he kind of follows her and sees that she has her system. She has shells to lead her to and fro. And you see that Dory is doing all right. She's kind of found her. Marlon's kind of sneaking up on her, tailing her.
And
yeah, he's like, hey, Marlon. He's like, yeah. Hey, Dory.
And then he kind of, so Marlon's grown a lot. Dory's grown a lot, obviously. So
she's got her family.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mom and dad are back, everybody. And, you know, and I always thought that Finding Nemo would lend itself to a sequel. And now it's just kind of like, where do you go from, you know, like, do you need to mind to do this again? Like,
I mean,
where
if
do
they
you
do
go
anything, they'll do Hank.
Oh, I guess that's true. I can see a Hank.
I mean, he's like he's really ripe. Because
he was
out of the water so long.
Yeah, that
the addition of that, and because he could do anything.
Yeah, yeah. He gets a robot arm. So he's an octopus again. He gets a bionic arm.
I mean, as a character, there's so much that it just changed the tone and feel of the movie and kind of gave it its own sense. You know, before
its own identity.
Yeah.
He was a great addition to it. Because it wasn't a character that we had in the first one.
Right.
So.
If it wasn't too much of a Modern Family riff, I'd like to see Hank and Bailey.
Yeah, I thought, like, that would be, yeah, even if you could still do that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you just have those two, you know, actors playing with each other. Mm-hmm. Not, well,
hey now. It's a kid's movie.
Yeah, sorry. But I mean, like, you could totally do a movie with those two.
Hey, you got your eighth tentacle back.
Hey, you know what I thought? Now, what I really thought was coming, you know how this was all about accepting Dory as a part of their family? Nemo says it, and then Marlin accepts her. I thought Marlin and Dory were going to become
a couple.
A couple.
I thought it was going to be Hank and Dory.
Really?
Yeah.
But
it was going to be Nemo and Dory.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to go in. I don't think they're going to go
in. But you know what I mean? Like,
interspecies.
I don't know. I just thought that the way they were growing the relationship with it, I was like, oh, well, you know, Marlin lost the mom. And I was like, well, I mean, they could do like, Dory is a part of the family. And so I don't know. It just was something that I was kind of seeing little flashes that might, you know.
But no, they were able to catch it again, and no pun intended, and put out a fantastic movie. Yeah. I thought it was spectacular.
Yeah. I don't think it is as quite emotionally resonant as the first one.
I would agree.
Especially like when you watch that first one in the first 5 minutes of the first movie.
Where everybody dies.
Tragic. Yeah.
But still,
everybody but one. Yeah.
And you know, this one, it's a heartfelt. It's just, that one, I think it played it a little bit straighter. This one plays a little wackier.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the moments that do hit really hit hard, like in a great way.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
With the little Dory and that origin.
Yeah, the parents with the shells. You're just
it's really.
Yep.
But this one also like plays a little bit more than that did. That one,
which
was
is why I think this movie was more entertaining than the original Nemo. Because of those fun moments, you know, and the original one did have its fun stuff in the dentist's office and all that. But to me, this movie had a lot more laughs and was more fun.
I would agree with that.
I think they're both great movies, but
I would definitely think it's more geared towards the comedy stuff than the first one was. I could see that.
But while still not undermining the quality and the story and in the characters, because you do have all that growth that we talked about. So I loved it. I went in just not, you know, I expected that it was going to be good, but didn't have super high expectations and was just floored when I left it, how good it ended up being.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's fun.
There you go.
Yeah, it was a good one. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, you know, because this one I was like, well, I can't talk about Finding Nemo. That's
that's just being lazy.
It is.
Finding Nemo. Done. Goodbye.
Jaws.
No, this one actually, this is kind of along the same lines. This is part of the quadrilogy of Don Knotts movies. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm laughing because I always try to go out with a spoiler from a movie, and when I can, I try to make it similar to the movie that we're doing. I'm not always successful, but so for a change, you stole my movie.
Yes, yes, and you can still use it. Don Knotts.
It only took 3 years exactly.
There was like a run of four movies where Don Knotts was just like the guy.
I know which one this
it
is.
It was Ghost of Mr. Chicken, Shakiest Gun in the West, The Reluctant Astronaut, and then
The Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Yes. The movie where he turns into a fish.
With his glasses on, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a weird movie because
it's a plot point
because
he loses his glasses.
Yeah, it's from 1964. But it's also weird because it's set in the 40s because they never really explained why he turns into a fish, but he works for the Navy. And he's not quite successful in the Navy, but he's really committed, and they're fighting the Nazis, and then he ends up falling in the water and turning into a fish. He's married, by the way, and he has a human wife, but he turns into a fish, and then he meets a ladyfish named Ladyfish, and then through the course of the movie, ends up defeating the Nazi submarines
as well. He should
as a fish. It is a weird. Weird movie.
And they tried to remake this thing.
Yeah.
They did?
Yes.
Oh, my God. For 20 years, they've been trying to remake this movie.
I think the Farrelly brothers were even trying to do it.
I know that. It was a Jim Carrey movie for a long time.
Yep. I could see that.
And
is this around the time of, like, The Shaggy Dog?
I mean, they've been trying to remake it since the 90s. So
$10 million was spent on animation tests to digitally map Carrey's motion-captured human face onto the fish's body, which produced disastrous results.
Yeah, that would be
so
weird.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and then, then they were trying to do it with Zach Galifianakis was attached to it, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler.
Wow.
They've tried. Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd because, like, of all those movies, Ghost of Mr. Chicken is the one they should remake. But that's fine.
So how did they do it? Like, my question was, as far as when you're seeing this fish for the whole movie,
it's animated.
A cartoon. Oh, it's a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. Once it goes underwater, it's real life.
And it turns into cartoon.
Animation.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. He's a cartoon that looks. He's a fish that looks like Don Knotts.
Yeah, and then Don Knotts. All he had to do was vocal work. Right. I mean, it's really. He's just. He's only in it for like the first ten minutes.
Basically, a voice actor.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
studio did it?
Disney.
No, it wasn't at Disney.
We would know if it was.
No, I mean,
I think it was Universal.
Oh, okay. I guess I always think of that as a Disney movie. I don't know why.
No. It wasn't Disney. Oh, sorry. Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. But yeah, it ends up, you know, he defeats the Nazis. He ends up getting some sort of accommodation from the Navy.
And yet Chewie still can't get a medal.
And
or a hug.
Or a hug.
And then it ends up like in the, you know, present day. And he's still working, and
does it turn back?
It ends with the question mark in the ocean because he's working with dolphins.
Okay.
With the Navy doing some sort of dolphin research or something. And then it's like the end question mark.
So you don't know if he turned back into a human or not?
I don't know if maybe the Warner Brothers thought
they're leaving him for a sequel.
They had a franchise on their hands.
But yeah, I mean, this is, you want to see a weird fish movie. This one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like an action comedy done nuts fish movie.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
It's something.
Well, thank you, Dan,
for
stealing my movie.
Sorry.
This is why I try to forget the video recovers half the time.
Yes.
Would have happened sooner had I remembered video recovers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, well, thank you.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table, and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, G-R-A-N-E-Y.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S, 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you had comments or thoughts or opinions on Dory, feel free to find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Real Spoilers, or you can tweet at us at Real Spoilers, or if you had some weird, dark, disturbing thought that you needed to express privately, you can do it at
Real Spoilers at ReviewSTL.com.
Don't forget, we're also available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it.
And we all have email.
And we all have email now. So just
our respective names.
Our respective first names at Real Spoilers. So it's very simple to get a hold of us. So there you go. I guess next week it will be Independence Day resurgence.
Look at how excited those two guys are on this side of the table. Like
Independence Day : we aren't screening this for critics.
Yes.
Oh, they're not.
They don't appear to be. It was on the schedule.
Oh,
it is now appears to be off.
Independence Day. Didn't Brent Spiner die in the last one?
So
doesn't he fly up into the ship and die?
He died in the last movie.
Himself, right?
No, Dennis. That's Randy Quaid.
That's Randy Quaid. No. Brent Spiner.
Okay. Brent Spiner is the doctor that gets choked out by the alien.
And then all of a sudden I was like,
how is he back?
Well, because Will Smith's not back.
So. I hate to prejudge a movie, but I'm thinking if you like the episodes where we don't like movies, this might be up your alley.
This might be a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling there's one or two people at this table who are really excited.
I'm always excited for a piece of
There's one person at this table that's looking forward to this.
Always excited for a piece of shit. That's why I saw Batman three times.
Put that on his business card.
That's right.
So that's it for this episode. Until next time, Krusty sinks U-boats by redirecting torpedoes.
Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart. For me, nobody but me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cupid, please hear my cry and let...
That's enough.
That's beautiful.